Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
And let us help you decide.
That's the end of the
podcast. Is reading for kids?
You know how much I had to like sell you on the idea that books are media that we could cover on this podcast?
I know. And that's not because I don't love reading. I just didn't think of them that way.
I know. But then if you ever go to Epcot in Disney World, there's like a ride that it's the one in the ball, right? Where they go through like all of the different technological advancements throughout history. And they're like, the first media is this papyrus. And now there's a printing press. And I was like, see, John, media.
So we get to talk about reading today. But real quick, Disney. My kids are not roller coaster people yet. Mm-hmm. I used to be a diehard roller coaster person. And now that I'm tall and fat, I'm like, I don't know that I trust them. And you hear those horror stories of people falling out. And so I'm like, I don't know if I would want to go on one now. And I have kids. But I probably should go on them with my kids so that they like them. Could we go to Disney as a family if we're not going to ride rides? Like, would it still be fun for them?
Disney World rides are, there are very few roller coasters. Like, Thunder Mountain Railroad is a roller coaster, and Space Mountain is a roller coaster. But for the most part, it is, like, kind of slow-moving rides that go through different scenery and look at different things.
Really?
Very few of the rides are, like, scary. Like, there's a drop ride, the Tower of Terror, that's not a roller coaster. It's dropping.
Yep.
But most of the rides are not roller coasters by any means.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. They're on tracks.
One day we shall take the children.
Yeah. Like, even the now Tiana's Bayou used to be Splash Mountain, just has the one whoosh, and then the rest of it is just, like, slow moving through.
Through cool
like
stuff.
Storybook. Like, you're watching things. Pirates of the Caribbean is just watching scenes of pirates as you go through it.
Does it feel like you're actually there?
Yeah. They make the smells and everything.
Okay, that'll be cool.
Yeah, there's one that's really cool that's in the Animal Kingdom thing. This is not sponsored unless you want to sponsor Disney, because I will go for free. But they have you like be on the back of the thing from Avatar, like the I forget what the animals are called that they fly on.
The dragons.
The dragon-y looking things, yeah.
Yeah.
And so like it, like you can feel it breathing between your legs while you, but it's really just like a simulation. Like you're just watching a screen. It's exactly the same as Star Tours, except instead of being in a seat moving, you're like leaned forward on a sort of a motorcycle-y type thing.
Oh, that's fun.
It's really cool.
All right,
and then they make smells and stuff.
We'll take the kids.
Yeah, you should. So expensive.
Yeah, maybe we won't take the kids. So we're going to talk about reading today.
Reading.
Full confession first.
You don't know how to read.
I don't know how to read. I don't read. I miss reading.
Yeah.
I'm at this point in my life, though, with four kids and running my own business, I don't really have like the time I would be able to read is either the time I'm putting extra into the business or the time I'm watching sports, and I'm unwilling to give up watching sports for reading. And so I find myself only ever reading to the kids.
Yeah.
And never reading things for my own enjoyment.
Statistically, the average American reads one book a year. So if you get one done per year, you're doing better.
But
than
I'm reading 50 books a day.
See, you're doing great.
To my kids.
But I mean, Hop on Pop is a little bit different, but yeah, it's not common. People are not big readers anymore. Do you consider audiobooks the same as reading?
I do.
Yeah, because I'm in the same boat as you. Like I'm self-employed. I do all of my stuff all the time. And I'm also primarily a stay-at-home mom to five kids. So I'm constantly in the car driving people back and forth.
Yeah.
So because I spend so much time in the car, I just have a ton of audiobooks and I've listened to a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah, I will say, I think that it's the same. I'm not going to say it's the same because there's people out there who are like, you need the paper. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. And if you're passionate about that, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you can have a full conversation with someone who read a book if you listened to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So nothing wrong with it, I don't think.
Yeah. And
that's how I've been listening to books too. Like for the only books I've read at all the last few years are when I'm walking and I'm listening to them.
Yeah. I had a professor in college and I majored in English literature, but my Shakespeare professor, which was a required class you had to take to get the English degree, was Shakespeare, was very adamant that like reading Shakespeare is an abomination. You shouldn't be doing it. These are plays. You're meant to hear it acted out. You're supposed to see things at the same time. There's stage directions. It is unreasonable for you to be reading Shakespeare. And like having heard that is like what sits in the back of my mind when I think of audiobooks. Like this was meant to be a little bit more like you're meant to do the voices. You're meant to have that kind of a thing. So yeah. I think audiobooks are great.
Confession, I don't do the voices when I read to my kids.
What?
Not a lot.
Oh,
I know.
I'm heartbroken.
There's a lot of different characters. We'll get into it. So
Okay. My
first question for you is how often do you read to your kids? You have some older kids, but you've got some younger kids as well.
Yeah. So before my kids are capable of reading for themselves, I generally read at least one book to them every single day. So for right now, because my youngest is five, she's the only one that gets read to anymore. My 11-year-old doesn't really sit still for that kind of thing. My 17-year-old, it would be a little bit weird. But like when we did homeschool, we did a lot of read alouds for homeschool type stuff. But for little kids, one a day at least.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I know that it's good to read to your kids when the, like before they even know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not great at that though. I'm really like helpful as a dad to a baby under the age of 1.5. Like I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll hold the baby. I'll feed the baby. I'll put the baby to sleep or whatever. Change diapers. That's all fine. But I just kind of find them mostly boring at that stage.
Very few political opinions.
Very what?
They have very few political opinions.
Yeah.
Like they're never going to
And they're just like, they're crabby and like,
what do you think of fiat currency? And they're like, well, Nixon and the gold standard.
Exactly. And they just like get into everything and you're just, it's just kind of like, Jody loves it, so thank God, but I don't.
Not a fan.
As soon as they're able to sit and like go through a book, even if it's like one of those books that just makes sounds and stuff, then I'm all in. Yeah. Like that's when I become super dad for the rest of their lives. And so my youngest is one and he's almost that age where he'll be able to start like letting me actually read him books and sit still for a little bit. But once they hit that age, I'm same as you. Like read as often as they want, way more reading than screen time in our house. And I think it's unbelievably important. I found this study that research found that young children whose parents read to them daily, so good job, have been exposed to at least 290,000 more words by the time they enter kindergarten.
Yeah.
Than the kids who aren't read to regularly. And depending on how much daily reading the kids get, that number can go up to over 1 million words. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to think about.
It's amazing.
It's unreal. So with the kids, I've got 11, 9, 6, and 1. And I have read Chronicles of Narnia already to the older boys.
Yeah.
The whole thing. They loved it. Harry Potter 1 through 5.
Yep.
This summer.
Ooh, you got all the way to 5?
Yeah, we finished 5.
Dark.
I know. And 6 and 7 are darker.
I think 5 is the darkest.
Great. This summer we're planning on doing 6 and 7.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason, but the reason we're doing it too is because my kids are reading it. They're reading 1 through 5 on their own over and over and over and over right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, if they're going to keep reading the same thing over and over, I'd rather just like get 6 and 7 done and they can at least be done and maybe read other stuff. And they do. They read, my kids read all day long. It's ridiculous. And then I'll talk about Green Number and another book series as well that means them. But like, it is like, it's my favorite thing that we do. Mm-hmm. You get snuggle time. Like you're into the story. They can ask questions, but I don't do the voices because Harry Potter, there's like 1 million voices. You know what I mean? I can't do a different voice for everyone. Lord of the Rings, same thing. I did do Smeagol though.
I always did the voices.
I did do Smeagol.
I'm a big fan of the voices. I was recently...
Not bad.
I was recently asked to MC a book launch. My friend Caitlin Fashista wrote a book about the Lord of the Rings. You should definitely check it out. It's called Into the Heart of Middle Earth. But she had me do it because her priest, who would have done it for her, constantly does a Smeagol impression. And she was like, it will drive everyone crazy.
That would be me.
It was really funny. He was there, though. Shout out Father Shockley.
Smeagol was there?
Father Shockley, who does Smeagol impressions. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like my favorite time. And for us, like one thing that I've noticed recently in starting Green Number. So my Zachary, who's 9, is obsessed. They're both my oldest obsessed with Harry Potter. And we started reading Green Number. And my oldest, who's 11, was like, I don't really want to read Green Number. And so it's just a me and Zach thing.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad because it's not because he doesn't want to like read with us. Like when I read Harry Potter 6, he'll be there and we'll read the whole thing. But Zach thinks that Green Number is the greatest book ever. And he will choose reading with me over watching the Pistons, over watching the Red Wings. If I gave him the opportunity to do it over watching the Lions, he probably would. Over playing video games, which they only just recently were able to start playing NHL 26, he would choose it over every single thing, including their TV show.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Like, I think most of the parents that I'm friends with don't read a ton to their kids. They're busy and it's just not a huge priority. And I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah. First of all, that's a great series. We did a whole episode on Green Number, so you should go back and check it out because it's a fantastic book series.
By S.D. Smith. Great guy.
S.D. Smith. Great guy. Friend of the pod, if you will. Yeah, it's a great series, but more than that, it's spending time with your parents, I think, when you're that age, like getting that kind of one-on-one attention. And two, what you had said earlier about how kids are exposed to more words and things like that, the more that you're spending time with your parent, hearing the book out loud being read to you, it not only exposes you to words, but like manners of speaking that are different than yours so that you can start to understand people better. So like if they have colloquial dialects, it's really important for kids to be able to understand the ways of other people talking so that they can better relate to people who aren't exactly from their same background.
Yeah, 100%. And by the way, that is in in The Green Ember, there's a character who has a completely different dialect.
Yes.
And it's hard to read. I'm like, what is he even trying to say? And my son like is understanding a little bit. My favorite part about reading to him right now is about a year ago, his probably like biggest struggle in school is reading comprehension. Mm-hmm. Like he had a hard time reading something and then writing a summary about it.
Yeah.
And a part of it could have been like just his nervousness in general. But now like as I'm reading Green Ember to him, and it's a fairly complicated kid's book. Like there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of surprises. And I'll like stop somewhere and be like, do you think that this guy's going to be a good guy or is he going to be like a traitor? And he's been like spot on like the last four times.
Wow.
And even had like, I was like, this guy's going to be the prince. And he was like, no, Dad, I think it's going to be this character Smalls. And I was like, I don't know. And then like a chapter later, it's Smalls. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Zach, look at you. Like his reading, I'm watching in real time his reading comprehension get better because I'm spending that time reading to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things like, Maybe our EWTN audience kind of already knows this because there is sort of like a background of reading in the Catholic tradition that we're big book people.
Yep.
Like most of us have a pretty strong theology background or interest in books. But literally one in four kids who graduates high school now is functionally illiterate, meaning they can't write a summary. They can't repeat back what they just read. They can't learn from written material. So like if you're getting, I don't know, your 401k documents, you absolutely can't understand what's in there. And that's terrifying. That's 25% of the population is functionally illiterate. So when we're having this, like, is reading to your kids a good idea? And that might seem like, oh yeah, duh, like what a silly question. It's not that silly. It's actually an epidemic right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what age, do you remember what age you would start reading chapter books to your kids?
It depends on the book and the kid, honestly. But all of my kids were good with chapter books. Like we started reading the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series, that whole series. Chronicles of Narnia. Sorry, my brain just exploded trying to.
That's the name of the book.
Yeah. It's
Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Technically, the first one is the what is it? The Magician's Nephew.
Magician's Nephew.
Which I think we've done an entire
series
about this one.
Unbelievable book.
So good. You're like, how did that wardrobe become? That. Anyway, yada yada. They all were the youngest at that time. I think was four, and he sat through. That was before my younger daughter was born. So, and he sat through it just fine. He seemed to like it and he enjoyed it. So, I think you can get through a lot of chapter books if you do the voices with really young kids.
See, mine are fine without the voices, but when I start, I'm sure if I add it, they'll be super excited.
Yeah.
Chronicles of Narnia, great one. Harry Potter, I think it's you have strong opinions on whether or not you think that's fine for kids. I'm fine with it.
I don't.
No, I'm. You
in general.
Yeah, we have a whole episode on
Harry Potter.
Go check it out. On the books, we talk about the books and the movies.
Yep.
So check that out. Green Ember by S.C. Smith, unbelievable. I cannot recommend it enough. He's a Christian. There's a lot of Christian themes in that book. There's a whole episode on that. Go check that out.
Yeah, he's so smart and so thoughtful. Like every time I've heard him, I interviewed him for a show I did on SiriusXM for a little while there, and he's just so thoughtful about everything. Like he puts so much, I can't think of any of the word, besides thought, but like he's nothing is accidental. Every single thing that he's put in there has been thought through.
Yep.
It's very Tolkien adjacent.
And what's cool is that I did that whole thing with them where I played their video game, the Green Ember video game, which is the story of Helmer.
Yeah.
But that's a completely different story and book than the original Green Ember series. And so Helmer is a character in that, but he's older.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm like Zach, at first Zach's like, I think Helmer might be a bad guy. And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Really? I don't know. I think he's just a really hardened hero.
Yeah.
And to watch him, that that whole thing was really cool to kind of watch that come together.
Yeah.
I'm currently reading a series called The Never Girls. Have you heard of The Never Girls?
No.
I'm reading it to my daughter. She's six. It's her first chapter book that she's like sat through and wanted to sit through. It's perfect for girls. It's about these four girlfriends. I think there's a pair of sisters and then or there's two sisters and then there's two friends. And they stumble upon a fairy and it takes them to Neverland. And it's based off of like the Peter Pan. It's in Peter Pan world.
Yeah.
And so they go to Neverland.
Like
and
the Lost Boys, but the Never Girls.
Exactly. Got and the it. Lost. There's a book where the Lost Boys are in it. And they meet the Lost Boys. And so now every single book, and I think there's like 15 or more, and we're on like seven, the girls go on some adventure in Neverland. They decide that it's always a Saturday or a weekend and they're able to like sneak out. And I think time freezes in real life when they're in Neverland, so they can be there for a day or two. They've mentioned Peter Pan, so I'm pretty sure Peter Pan is going to be in one of these books. They just met the Lost Boys in one of them. But it's like there's always just a little problem that comes up, and the girls have to work together and fight through some adversity and work with the fairies. And it's just this really cool book. And my daughter loves them.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm like I said about Zachary, watching her understand like reading comprehension, and her attention span in general, just like going up. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. And it's so sweet. She'll just like, I'll be watching a sports game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, and she'll just grab one of the books and just like lay it on my lap. And I'm like, all right, let's go back to the room and snuggle up and read a book. It's the best.
Yeah.
Highly recommend reading to your kids.
It is so much an antidote to the social media thing that like the algorithm causes decreased attention span. It's the antidote to that. You can sit there and do it together for longer periods of time. I have a girl book recommendation, but mine's for younger girls.
Well, I have a younger girl.
Yes. Well, I mean, it is a chapter book, sort of sweet, but so it's a saint book. You can separate it. You don't have to read it, in order or anything like that. But actually, all the books I'm going to recommend today are from Word on Fire, their new votive series, which is not a sponsored thing, but they're actually doing something super, super cool over there. And I want to make sure that people are checking them out. This is by Fabiola Garza, The Princesses of Heaven. And she's got, like, if you look at the front of it, it's very pink. It's very, and like the first one is the flowers. So like they get the different types of saints based on what kind of thing they have going. So you've got your Lily of the Mohawks and you've got your little flower in here. And it tells you the stories of these different saints. But the illustrations, the drawings are bright and colorful, the kind of thing that attracts young girls' attentions. And it speaks about them kind of like an adventure story, but not a lot of times we try to make girl stories a little bit more boyish, maybe because you're trying to get them to play nicely together. I'm not really sure, but it really leans into the girlishness, the princessness of the whole thing, which is kind of cool. Cause I think a lot of times our girls separate holiness from like the Disney princess type aspect of it. And really, no, those should be your girls that you're looking up to. And originally with your Disney princesses, like we were talking about people who were, kind and virtuous and chaste and things like that. So it's not a huge leap, but it's a really well done book. So there you go.
Okay. I will be reading that to the daughter.
Do you have more of them or am I going all of mine right now?
You're doing all of yours.
Oh, cool. So for boys, same Word on Fire.
The Hardy Boys. Oh, just kidding.
That too. That's also great. And what is that? Encyclopedia Brown? But I didn't write. I wasn't thinking about that. But those are cool. But actually, Word on Fire put out one called Past Watchful Dragons. And these are actually Bible stories that have been rewritten. Like they're about sins. But the sins are dragons. And so it's like that very, do you remember when we did Firebreaker, the podcast?
Yeah.
It's very much like that where you're telling this story as if you're defeating this dragon. It's this very knight in shining armor kind of a thing, but it's actually overcoming sin in different ways. And it's retelling stories from the Bible in a way that's not that the Bible's not fun, but it's not necessarily fun for a 10-year-old boy.
Right.
And Past Watchful Dragons is going to be Zachary's gonna love that one.
Okay.
It's absolutely great. That's one's by Rose John Scheffler. And then last, if you're looking for a good kids Bible, the one that they just made is actually the best one I've seen so far. It's called The Story of All Stories by Emily Stimson Chapman. The illustrations are beautiful, just so beautiful, these illustrations. But what's really cool is they have all, it's just like it's a children's Bible. So you have each Bible story, but then at the end, there's these like questions and things to have you look forward to. Like if you're in the Old Testament, you're going to look forward to how this story of Job impacts Christ later and how Christ goes back and forth. So that sort of the way that the readings are set up in Mass so that you can see that this from the Old Testament really is related to this from the New Testament. They have all those connections made for you at the end of the book. So you don't have to be a Bible scholar. If you're a new Catholic, a new Christian, or even just a standard issue, Catholic in the pews who's not great at theology, you can still read this to your kid every night and make those theological connections with them without needing to be the smartest person in the entire world. Emily apparently is smarter than all of us and is already taking care of it. Thanks, Emily, you're the best. But the pictures are great. And my daughter, she got sent a copy of the book and it's her favorite thing in the entire world. Like she asks us to read it with her. She'll sit in bed and read her Bible, but she's just looking at pictures. But it's engaging and beautiful and wonderful.
That's awesome. Yeah. You can, if you're actually watching this episode on EWTN, you can buy The Story of All Stories right there at EWTNReligiousCatalog.com.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
How fun is that?
I know. That's so cool. I bet you could find all of them on there. I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah, they're very, very awesome books that Catholics are putting out. You know, you mentioned Green Ember, which is a Christian book, and it has incredibly Catholic themes. But like, these are being put out by our Catholic apostolates, and we really want to support that work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like J.R.R. Tolkien.
What?
He's Catholic too.
I mean, yes.
Lord of the Rings.
I mean, yes, but Hobbit. It's not. Yeah. Yes.
Read it to the kids.
It was
Let
not
them
a
cry
apostolate.
when the I forget his name, but the dwarf dies in Hobbit.
Hey. There's a ton of books for us to go through as parents.
Let's keep reading. I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let's help you decide.
Is this for kids?